What's happening locally? The news.
And it is time for us to take that look, some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama. Starting with the epidemiological report of the Ministry of Health from Monday, it reports 184 new infections of COVID-19 in the last 24 hours. To detect the new cases, 3,385 tests were applied, showing a positivity of 5.4%. The report indicates that no deaths from COVID were reported, so the death toll remains at 8,179. Active cases total 2,302, of which 2,220 are in home isolation and 82 are hospitalized. Those in isolation are divided into 2,200 at home and 20 in the so-called hospital hotels. There are 72 patients hospitalized in the wards, and there are 10 in the intensive care units. The districts with the most cases. Well, the ministry announced that the districts have reported the most cases of San Francisco and Betania in Panama City, with 16 and 13 cases respectively. David in Chiriquí with 10, and Rufina Alfaro in San Miguelito with 6 cases. The Minister in Charge of Health, Yvette Berrio, confirmed on Monday that the epidemiological reports on COVID-19 do register an increase in cases in some sectors of the country. Berrio explained that despite the increase in infections in some areas, the admission of patients to hospitals has not increased, which keeps the authorities somewhat calm. Since it was announced that in open areas it is possible to travel without a mask, only maintaining the required distancing, it is the responsibility of each citizen to protect themselves to avoid more infections, said Berrio. She added that although the pandemic in the country is under control, we must bear in mind that the virus is still among us. Berrio participated yesterday in the reopening of the psychiatric ward at the San Miguel and Archangel Hospital, highlighting that it was closed 3.5 years ago and it has now been enabled with the necessary personnel. The Ombudsman, Eduardo LeBlanc, announced that today, the 19th of April, he will present the report on the complaints of alleged sterilizations in the Nagabe-Bugli region. Last February, indigenous people denounced supposed surgical procedures of salpingectomy in the region without due consent. On Tuesday, we're going to publish the sterilization report, LeBlanc said. We made a call through the media, but only one person showed up, said LeBlanc. He added that work was done on human rights expertise with the support of the Public Ministry, the Social Security Fund and the Ministry of Health. The investigation began on the 17th of February from a complaint that was filed with the Public Ministry by the deputy of the ruling party, Kyra Harding. 2 days earlier, substitute independent deputy Walkeria Chandler revealed the matter at a meeting of the Women's Commission of the National Assembly. On February the 20th, personnel from the Public Ministry and the Ombudsman went to the areas where the allegedly affected people were. On that occasion, the Ombudsman's office reported that they were unable to speak with any of the alleged victims since the community did not allow the Public Ministry to enter. Then, on February the 23rd, the General Directorate of Public Health of the Ministry of Health indicated that there is no documentation or information on salpingectomies performed without authorization on patients at hospitals in Bocas del Toro, Chiriquí, Veraguas, and the Nagabe-Bugli and Guna-Yala counties. The Administrative Council of the Judicial Career, which governs the judicial branch, approved the calendar of activities for the evaluation of judges and magistrates at all levels and jurisdictions for the period of 2022-23. This is one of the core steps established in Law 53 of 2015, which created 3 careers, judicial, public defence and judicial administrative. On March 22nd of this year, through an agreement, the Administrative Council of the Judicial Career, chaired by Judge Abel Augusto Zamorano, announced the start of this process that seeks to guarantee, quote, equal opportunities for all evaluated, and due publicity and transparency. The process, which will take a year, is divided into 12 stages that start on the 1st of July and conclude with the final evaluation, consolidation and communication of the results between the months of July and August of 2023. The regulation establishes an assessment or score for each of these areas and provides that when these personnel are evaluated and do not achieve a score equal to or greater than 70%, this will constitute a temporary impediment for their transfer and promotion. If the person fails to pass the evaluation in the following consecutive period, they will lose their status as a judicial servant of the judicial career. Now, to evaluate the performance of judicial servants, aspects such as productivity, 45%, competencies, 25%, good judicial or administrative practices, 10%, compliance with ethical standards and discipline, 10%, will be valued. The work environment, 5%, and the quality of user service, also 5%. On March the 4th, the presiding magistrate of the Supreme Court of Justice, Maria Eugenia López, presided over the swearing-in ceremony for the officials who will be in charge of assessing the competencies of judicial servants for performance evaluation as part of the implementation of Law 53. These are the technicians, Ambar Tuñón Tejera, Mary Carmen Valdez Herrera, Yolanda Maso Lozano, Katina Galvez Ledesma, Rosemary Martinez Nunez, Juana Quesada de Molik, and Cesar Escobar Vasquez. This team will be in charge of the permanent certification of the competencies required for the performance of the different jobs of the institution. In addition, they will guide the processes of selection, training, and substantiation of the certification and recertification procedure of the applicants and members of the judicial branch. On 11th of January, the Ministry of Economy and Finance assigned the sum of $15 million to the judicial branch for the implementation of the judicial career. Funds that will be used for the selection and evaluation of personnel, technological support, and the creation of new judicial offices. The law that creates a judicial career was approved in 2005, but to date the judicial branch has not achieved its implementation, and most of the judges and magistrates are appointed on an interim basis in their positions. Judicial delay continues to be a challenge for the administration of justice. At the end of 2019, there were 93,592 files in process. A year later, in 2020, the figure was 73,000, and in 2021, it reached more than 66,000. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs, led by Erika Moines, reported that at least 20 countries have confirmed their attendance at a regional meeting on migration to be held on April the 19th to the 20th, so that's today and tomorrow, in Panama, and will include the participation of the head of U.S. diplomacy, Antony Blinken. For more than a year, we have been working with the United States and other important American partners to find common ground and areas of articulation to address this phenomenon and avoid an unprecedented humanitarian crisis in the region, said the Chancellor. In addition to Blinken, the Secretary of Border Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, will participate. This meeting takes place 2 months before the Summit of the Americas, which will be in Los Angeles in California in June, with the theme Building a Sustainable, a Resilient and Equitable Future for our Hemisphere. When the beginning of the process of collecting signatures approaches on the 20th of April, that's tomorrow, to revoke Mayor José Luis Fábrega, he resorts to the Electoral Court, the Tribunal Electoral, to clarify if tables will be installed throughout the country. The request was made before the Regional Directorate of Electoral Organization of Central Panama of the Tribunal Electoral, which on the 3rd of March admitted the revocation process after a request from lawyer Roberto Ruiz Diaz stated the 22nd of February. Fábrega says that he has information to the effect that signature collection centers will be installed throughout the country. If such a thing were true, he adds, it would be illegal, because only voters from the District of Panama can participate in the process. In the letter, which bears the signature of Fábrega's legal representative, Carlos Carrillo, it is also requested to clarify whether any citizen can participate. It adds that the General Secretariat of the Tribunal Electoral certified on the 12th of April of this year that there is a request to revoke the mandate of Raúl Rodríguez from August 2020, and that it would have been processed. He also requested to certify whether Ruiz-Diaz has 20 trainers and 50 activists. Ruiz-Diaz, for his part, reported that this April the 18th and 19th at 1 p.m. there will be a training via Zoom open for all interested parties. The number of signatures to be collected for the recall is 198,920 in 120 days from the 20th of April. Now, upon obtaining the signatures, the Tribunal Electoral must issue a resolution to call a referendum and put the revocation to a vote. On April the 12th, Fabrica filed through Carrillo a claim of unconstitutionality against the Tribunal Electoral's decision to admit the process, alleging that the position of mayor cannot be subject to revocation. Right, how car thieves managed to rob their victims of their vehicles? Well, 3 weeks ago, Luz Maria witnessed it. She decided to buy a used car directly from the owner through the internet. They quickly agreed to sell to her, and she gave them $6,500, and he gave her the car, a copy of a key, and all the vehicle papers. In a couple of days, he would give her the other key. 48 hours later, she parked at the same shopping plaza where she made the transaction. It's her place of work. But when she left, her car was gone. When reviewing the security cameras of the premises, the authorities observed that two men opened the car with a key and left. She went to the police with a copy of the video of the robbery, which she circulated also on social networks. At the Judicial Investigation Directorate, they informed that they located the car, which was driven by a man who showed legitimate documents. On the other hand, all of her papers, vehicle registration and notary documents, they were false. She lost $6,500 and only enjoyed the car for a couple of days. The police told her that two more people had filed a similar complaint regarding the same car, so the investigations continue. The prosecutor's office against patrimony of the Metropolitan Section of the Public Ministry reports 75 thefts and 55 vehicle thefts so far in 2022. The superior prosecutor of the public ministry, Azucena Azipurra, indicated that the areas with the highest incidence are Betania, Juan Díaz, Pueblo Nuevo, Parque La Febre, and Panama Norte. A modality that has been repeated in recent weeks is the ambush. The criminals watch their victim, follow them, and in a place where they presume there are no cameras or police, a vehicle goes ahead and brakes, while another, sometimes it can be a motorcycle, is placed at the back of the car. Sometimes they even lightly bump the target to force the driver to get out. Another modality is that they search the internet for the type of vehicle that they require among those who provide hauling services. They're summoned, and once they arrive at the site, they threaten the victim with a firearm and take away the vehicle. The prosecutor, Azipura, narrated that recently a driver who offers a taxi service through digital platforms, when dropping off the passenger, there was someone there who was not registered on the platform but asked him for a ride, and he turned out to be a car thief. Authorities recommended parking in busy areas and being careful when serving an unknown customer. Bit of good advice there. And that's it. There we go. There's our look at some of those things relevant to us here in the Republic of Panama, all compiled for you this morning on The Breakfast Show.